Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. We attempt to be welcoming of everyone, no matter where you are on your spiritual or faith or religious journey. If this is one of your first, and there will be more about that in a little bit. That is the use of those words. If this is one of your first times here, we hope you will come back, of course, but we strongly urge that you try us out more than once because our services can be very different. Some mornings they're done by myself, the minister here, Sandy Ingham. Other times they're done by other people within the congregation, and often we have speakers from outside the congregation. But you are definitely welcome, no matter, as I said, where you are on your journey, no matter the color of your skin, no matter your gender preferences, welcome one and all. Mary, would you light the chalice, please? We gather this hour as people of faith, with joys and sorrows, gifts and needs. We light this beacon of hope, sign of our quest for truth and meaning in celebration of the life we share together. The reading that I will share with you is a rather short poem of Mary Oliver's titled, On Traveling to Beautiful Places. Every day, I'm still looking for God, and I'm still finding him everywhere, in the dust, in the flower beds, certainly in the oceans, in the islands that lay in the distance, continents of ice, countries of sand, each with its own set of creatures, and God, by whatever name. How perfect to be aboard a ship with maybe 100 years still in my pocket. But it's late for all of us. And in truth, the only ship there is the ship we are all on, burning the world as we go. I was surprised by Oliver's use of the masculine pronoun in this poem of hers. Every day I'm still looking for God, and I'm still finding him everywhere. Is this my Mary Oliver? Is she trying to annoy me? I mean, we're about the same age. We've lived through the same feminist movement, Vietnam, the civil rights movement. Why would she refer to God as male? True, she does soften that inappropriate, to me, use of language later in the poem with the words God by whatever name, but still, certainly a poet of all people understands the importance of words. I can attest to the fact that constant use of the pronoun he tends to lead to feelings of low self-worth and low self-confidence on the part of those who don't happen to be he's. Words matter. How we use language matters. What we do with the meaning of words matters. We Unitarian Universalists have a split personality when it comes to language. We are conflicted, to say the least. We say that we want language that is all-encompassing. Yet, throughout our history, we have often been too eager to discard good words, sometimes with the false hope that we will grow in numbers if we get rid of certain words or phrases. Well, part of this might stem from the fact that the word Unitarian was first used by our enemies, our theological enemies, that is. The word Unitarian was originally used as a derogatory term. We weren't Trinitarians, therefore, those Unitarians. I noticed that we have not discarded that word, however. I believe that how we determine what word we are going to use, especially how we are going to use or not use so-called religious language, falls into three categories. We try never to use the word. That's the first category. Two, we might occasionally use the word, but generally in a disparaging, negative, sarcastic way. Or three, we transform or rediscover the word's true or perhaps original meaning. That is, we use it in a way that works for who we are at this point in time. One example of this third option might be use of the word heretic, which every time I use it, I try to convince you that it's a positive word and that all it means is to choose. Consider this morning's opening and closing hymns. What feelings or thoughts came to your mind as we sang the opening hymn? Were there any buttons pushed there? Or were you following that old Unitarian tradition of failing to sing as well as you can because you were reading ahead to see if you agreed with the words? Note that I deliberately said Unitarian, not Universalist. Universalists have been much more accepting of supposed religious language than the Unitarians. Look at the dates of the opening hymn. It's number two, but I'll tell you the dates. The words were written in 1935, the music in 1940, which seems backwards a bit to me, but not necessarily, huh? When we sing the closing hymn, you should notice the different uses of language between the two hymns. So you can look at it, it's number 354. You might also notice that I think these two hymns say the same thing, that their message might be the same. The dates of the hymn that we're going to sing at the end are 1980 for the music. So what, almost 75 years ago? And the words were written almost 80 years ago. So, 20. Yeah, thank you. No wonder I can't do my expense account, Al. Yes, thank you. So, I think this figure is still correct, about three quarters of a century between when these two hymns were written, about 75 years. This is important for a couple of reasons. What it means for the continuation and the ongoing health of a faith community such as ours, and secondly, what it tells us about the underpinnings, the underlying structure, the foundation of that faith community. Okay, now get ready. Get ready for a radical thought from a humanist minister for the humanist congregation she serves. I maintain that the foundation of a faith community is, wait for it, the foundation of this community is religion. So stay in your seats. If we refuse to use words such as religion and reverence, words some people might consider to be God language, well, I would disagree that it's God language, but anyway, if we throw out these words, will we grow? Will we do that magic thing where we start to grow in numbers? Will Unitarian Universalism attract more people, especially young people? If we just can figure out the right words to use to draw people into our buildings? No, I don't think so. We are diminished, I believe. We are diminished, both personally And it's a very old faith tradition. If we refuse to use such rich, complex, moving words as sacred, reverence, spiritual, awesome, in the best sense of that word, faith, even the word God, as long as we are clear about what we mean when we use the word God. This struggle over language and how to describe who we are is not new, nor is the accompanying conversation. The discussion that happens simultaneously with any discussion of what language to use to describe ourselves. How can we get the word out about who we are if we aren't clear about what language to use? There was a good discussion last Sunday after Gary Gates, our president of the congregation, after his reflections on his General Assembly experiences. If I closed my eyes during that discussion, though, I could have been in any number of Unitarian Universalist Sunday morning services or any General Assembly over the past 30 plus years that I have been going to them, not to mention district meetings, regional meetings, and ministers' meetings. Before I go on, I should explain what I mean when I use the word theology, so you are not pondering the word and missing the content of some of my remarks. Theology, a rational, sounds like Unitarians, a rational interpretation of religious faith, practice, and experience, the analytical and historical study of religious beliefs, the interpretation of religious beliefs in relation to contemporary thought and life. It's not something that we just do there for history. Contemporary thought and life. And finally, my favorite definition, an inquiry that seeks an adequate interpretation of matters of ultimate concern. Words, 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 sang Eliza Doolittle in My Fair Lady. I am so sick of words. Well, I know the feeling. All summer, I seem to have been caught in a vortex, a swirl of discussion about language. Actually, the language conversation began in mid-May when I was visiting friends in Minneapolis. And one of them, who was born and raised Unitarian Universalist, told me about being out with friends on a gorgeous spring day and, you know, in the boat. And one of those friends, a Christian, used the word blessing. My friend turned to me and said, "Are we Unitarian Universalists okay with using that word? Or is it too religious?" I was taken aback. I had never considered the word blessing to be a religious word. And not long after my return to Madison, one of you objected to my using the word blessing. Blessing means approval, encouragement. Blessing also means a present or a gift, a thing conducive to happiness or welfare, as in, life is a blessing. This day is a blessing. Being with friends is a blessing. The word can also mean to praise. The language conversation intensified when I first heard about Sunday Assembly. By now, many of you have probably heard of it too. A church for atheists. A place to experience and build community, but only among atheists. Doug Erickson, the religion editor of the Wisconsin State Journal, wrote that Sunday Assembly will replicate aspects of a religious worship service without the God talk. My first reaction to that was actually a bit of anxiety, because the more I learned about it, the more it seemed that we were after the same audience, so to speak. We have atheists in our congregation. I am very, very happy that we have atheists in our congregation. So I thought, you know, they're going after the unchurched, one of those words I don't really like, but I guess it describes things well. We're going after the unchurched. So I thought the best thing for me to do was to meet with one of the organizers, which I did. In recounting the story of her religious journey, I kept expecting to hear her say that she had visited a Unitarian Universalist congregation. And she said that some of her friends said, "You sound like a UU." But she never did visit one of our congregations. I asked her why. She said, "Well, I looked at the principles." I don't know where she looked at the principles. And then she said, and I quote, "The use of religious language kept me from pursuing Unitarian Universalism." What? I had a moment of thinking I'd lost part of my memory instantly, because I don't remember that, and it's in our principles and purposes are in the right in the front of the book. So, of course, I wasn't carrying my wallet card. I highly recommend that you carry the little wallet card that has our purposes and principles on it. I'm like, what? Where's the religious language? So, of course, as soon as I got home, I looked them up. There is not one single religious word in there. I mean, there's nothing remotely related to any kind of a religious word. Looking at the sources, it's a different thing. But how do you explain the sources without using, how do you explain that we draw on Judeo-Christian traditions without using? Okay, but at any rate, after my meeting with her, I was less anxious. I also have to thank the Parks for reminding me that I'm supposed to be open-minded. So now my take on Sunday Assembly is twofold. I think they're reinventing the wheel. I also think they may be too exclusive. At General Assembly in Providence, and what a wonderful name for a General Assembly when you're wrestling with religious language. We were in Providence, Rhode Island, in June. So I kept asking colleagues and congregants from other places where I've served as their minister if they'd ever heard of Sunday Assembly. No, they hadn't. Now, when was General Assembly? The third week in June. One day I thought, I'll go ask at the humanist table. Now, any of you who've been to General Assembly know that there's a big, I don't know what we call it, area where all the tables are and all the booths, and you can buy such wonderful things, and you can spend a whole bunch of money in the bookstore without even trying. And different UU groups, like UU Christians, UU humanists, have displays. Well, I got into quite a heated debate at the humanist table with a rabid humanist about my age, and he insisted that we were seeing the demise of religion, even Unitarian Universalism. Not only the demise of religion, but also of Unitarian Universalist seminaries. Well, talk about pushing buttons. Either my seminary, Star King School for the Ministry, or Meadville Lombard would be around much longer. Well, we didn't exactly yell at each other, but voices were raised. Well, he went away, and there was someone else personing the table, and this other person was a young man, 28 years young, I asked. He didn't agree with the older man about the demise of religion, nor the end of religious institutions, seminaries. However, he thought that the end of use of religious language was at hand, and if we want to attract younger people, we have to stop using all religious language. That became a very interesting discussion, what we would keep and what we wouldn't. He said sacred, spiritual, church, faith, grace, redemption, salvation, of course God, all these words have to go. You'd be amazed at how long the list is. He wanted to strike the word awesome, but he was okay with awe-inspiring. I wasn't sure about the word mysterious. He promised to think about it. I have his card. I might follow up. I found this to be a disturbing conversation. The next day, I'm still in Providence, I had an interesting exchange with a woman in a coffee shop where we were both waiting for someone, and those someones were late. Now, I didn't know this person. I never met her, but it never occurred to me that she might be in Providence for General Assembly because her canvas bag said something about the Bible on it. Now we're getting into my biases. Well, it turned out that she had just been granted preliminary fellowship, which is one of the hoops you have to jump through to be a UU minister, and that means that she had already seen what we call the Committee on Ministry, And then she told me about this great app on her cell phone, the Bible and the Quran and all versions of the Bible. And would I like to hear that day's inspirational verse? Before I could object, she read it to me. Words. I was so stunned to be having a conversation with an apparent Christian Unitarian Universalist. I mean, I thought we were all humanists. You'd think I'd never met a Christian UU. I'm sure I have. And I missed the content of the Bible verse she so enthusiastically shared with me. Well, something's wrong if we can't get past buzzwords, the words that push our buttons, and see the person saying the words and listen to the content behind, within those words. I don't think we'll attract or not attract people by abandoning so-called religious language. On the contrary, I believe that we hurt our cause and maybe even betray what Unitarian Universalism means if we stop using good words. We welcome everyone of whatever theological belief or non-belief. Atheists should feel as comfortable here as theists. UU Christians should feel as at home here as humanists. A mystic should get as much out of this community as a Muslim would. Buddhists should feel as moved and inspired after a Sunday morning service here as a Jew would. Our task is to build the beloved community by welcoming all of whatever theological opinion, no matter where they are on their journey. And we always say we do that. Every Sunday we say we do that. But let me amend that. Our task is to do more than welcome all. Unitarian Universalist minister, Reverend Dr. Kendall Gibson, says the task of our liberal religious communities is to share the adventure and help each other remember the open secret of our unconditional worth and dignity, even when we doubt it most, and to grow together toward the ideals that arise out of our reverence for the good. We can be skeptics and doubters and free thinkers and still be reverent. Because reverence is, among other things, our response to nature, our reaction to stories of courageous people who fought for justice, for beauty, for an end to oppression, those stories that bring a lump to your throat, as Gibbons puts it, or whisper to your secret heart. Such a story might be the story of Jesus, or the Buddha, or Catherine Vogel, or Mandela, Muhammad, Norbert Chopek, or the women of the prophetic sisterhood. Perhaps you got a lump in your throat or a whisper in your heart, learning in recent news articles about the, and I don't know if I'm going to say this correctly, Yazidis, those unfortunate people trapped on a mountain in northern Iraq. Being neither Christian nor Muslim, they're a target for violence and persecution. Who knew there were Yazidis in the world? I spent a lot of money in seminary, and I did not know of this group. And why shouldn't they be able to practice their fascinating religion, which one article I read described as an ancient monotheistic faith with roots in Zoroastrianism and beliefs involving a 12th century mystic and a peacock angel. Now, I might be tempted to make fun of that. Of course, I shouldn't do that. I hope we would all welcome the Yazidis in our midst, should we ever find any. Unfortunately, we all come up short from time to time in the making fun of other religions department. My reaction to that newly minted would-be UU minister with her Bible verse. I'll bet that most of us have had our moments of sarcasm when speaking of the beliefs of others. I saw a bumper sticker the other day that says, "Sorry I miss church. I've been busy practicing witchcraft and becoming a lesbian." word church is there, you know, to be maybe ridiculed. Well, get over it. Redefine it. Think of church as this wonderful, fantastic, awesome, I mean, awe-inspiring community. Reverend Gibbons calls this way of being reverent, that is, experiencing reverence. She says this doesn't have anything to do, and this should be obvious to all of us, with any dogma or any scripture or with any one story or with any one tradition. We can use religious language to describe it, though. It can be useful. There are so many great religious language phrases. The Jewish phrase, which I never pronounce correctly, tikkun olam, which means healing of the world. From the Buddhists, enlightenment. Native Americans with the word beauty. The mystics tell us we're talking about the human condition. I don't know how many of you saw the cartoon, which I thought I had, but I think it's downstairs in my office, but I think I remember it, in last week's Isthmus, in the, right on the second page, the inside cover, in which we are featured. Well, Unitarians are. They didn't quite name Prairie, but it was about Sunday Assembly, and of course it's sarcastic. And the first frame has someone up here saying, here, take of this wafer because it tastes good. And, you drink this wine because it's on sale at Trader Joe's this week. And then there's a presumably someone from Sunday Assembly passing out pamphlets or, you know, on campus and trying to say what it is. It's a place to hang out and have great discussions. And the person taking the pamphlet says, I thought we already had a university in town. And then the third frame is someone up here again bashing religion, organized religion, and then turning and saying, but thanks to the Unitarians for letting us rent their space. We're famous. I had a hard time, I didn't have a hard time, but there's no ending here, there's just scribbles. I kind of want to throw it up in the air. And you'll get a little more of this next week, I think. Because I'm doing two services in a row, which I usually don't do. I'm surprised at the direction my thinking and my research took. Because I didn't ever intend to stand up here and say that this congregation, as are all Unitarian Universalist congregations, the foundation is religion. Well, then I'd better describe religion, hadn't I? So that led me to Galen Gungerich, who is also a reverend doctor, a UU minister, and senior minister at New York City's All Souls Church. I highly recommend his book, God Revised, How Religion Must Evolve in a Scientific Age. I just want to read this one short paragraph of his because it's at the root of how I got to what I said. He writes, no matter how difficult our circumstances or how dire our situation, we need a way to pull everything together and celebrate wholeness. We live in a broken world, and we are not at one-ment, atonement, with ourselves, with each other, or with the world as a whole. Gungerich goes on to say, we need to affirm what is true, cherish what is beautiful, and embrace what is lovely. The necessity of religion emerges from this deep-seated and long-standing human need for connection and wholeness. And that's the religious part. The need for connection and wholeness. I won't get into the roots of the word religion right now, but it's probably not what you think, and the definitions are probably not what you think. Yes, you can read about the divine, and God is referenced in the definitions, but it's much, much more complex than that, the definition of religion. we have to stop, and I could go on. I mentioned earlier that I debated a lot about using this story, and that's why it's not in the order of service. The name of it isn't in the order of service. But I finally picked it because it seems to me to point to what Gingrich and I myself are trying to say about religion. Spirituality is a whole different thing, and you use love to say, oh, we're spiritual, we're not religious. But spirituality is picking. And Gingrich says, or maybe it was Kendall Gibbons, but one of them says, that is like trying to have a conversation with somebody and picking different languages for each sentence in your conversation. It doesn't ultimately make any sense. But we're not saying that spirituality is bad. There are a lot of good things about spirituality, but religion is the foundation. Religion is the underpinning. Religion leads us to, or we hope it leads us to, keeping on keeping on. That even when all the peacocks and the swans are destroyed and it looks like life is over and there's nothing but blood and violence in the world, oh, kind of like today, with, it's a mess, isn't it? The whole world seems to be at war. Even through all that, religion sustains us if you use religion in the right way. I mean, if you define it in the right way. Of all the birds, not one remained. Silence hung over the gardens and over the lake. But then an egg hatched, and a small bird staggered out. And they looked at each other, and I love this part, that they looked at each other with curiosity and with trust. And they didn't see the differences. They only saw the similarities. Each had a head, each had eyes, they each had feathers, and they each had two legs. And off they went, together, in peace and unafraid, to face the day and the world. That's why we need religion. Kendall Gibbons says that we're on a pathless journey as Unitarian Universalists. I would say that it's an ongoing journey full of words that confuse us, that we have to pick and choose. And I think that it takes a very long time to become a Unitarian Universalist, and a lot of work. You see what you're in for, new members. The goal is connection and wholeness. The goal stays the same, but the means of getting there constantly shifting. I know it's late, but I have to tell you this one quick thing. I got an email from, or maybe it was in their calendar, Sauk County. Those of you who were there 3 weeks ago, the last Sunday, someone wants to try to form a singing group there, because as they put it, those people from Prairie who came up here at the end of July really know how to sing, and they put us to shame. And there were equal numbers of people from Prairie and from Sauk County, free thinkers. Closing words. First, an Oliver poem. This morning, the beautiful white heron was floating along above the water and then into the sky of this, the one world we all belong to, where everything, sooner or later, is a part of everything else. Which thought made me feel for a little while quite beautiful myself. And from UU Minister Sarah Campbell, we receive fragments of holiness, glimpses of eternity, brief moments of insight. Let us gather them up for the precious gifts that they are, and renewed by their grace, move boldly into the unknown and to greet our neighbors.